You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week, I share my labor story with you guys, and then I give you guys my list of hospital bag absolute must-haves. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, welcome to the Home Base Podcast. Oh, you all are gonna have to excuse me this week. I am super tired. I was on vacation last week, as you all know, if you've been listening. I went to Georgia to visit my mother, took my son with me, and, you know, anytime you take a six-month-old anywhere, it adds up to a very long and exhausting outing. But this was 5 days, and it was a very long 5 days. It was so great to go and visit her, but it is a 9-hour drive, and so 9 hours turns into 12 hours once you add in the stopping and feeding and nursing and diapers and blah, blah, blah. And then once we got there, his sleeping was just like all erratic and all over the place. So we're still catching up on our sleep now that we're home. So needless to say, I am exhausted. And so you'll have to excuse probably the tons of yawns. I'll have to edit those out later. But I will say, though, I used every single one of my 10 travel tips that I covered last week. They all definitely came in handy. And I actually tweeted and added to them. I don't know why this works, but my son gets really sidetracked when we're nursing. It doesn't matter where we are, but he gets really sidetracked and wants to look all around. And when you're in the back seat of a car, he really wants to look at everything, especially when you're, like, you know, at a rest stop and you hear cars and stuff going by. So he's looking all around, and I'm, like, desperately trying to get him just to eat so we can get back on the road. And if you take their hand and bring it up to your mouth and just, like, lightly kiss it or blow raspberries on it, for some reason that is distracting enough, and so they'll sit there, and he would sit there and nurse and then just watch me play with his hand, and so it kept him focused and it got us through the feeding. So if you need a tip to help keep your little ones focused while feeding, kiss their hand. So anyways, I gave you all some homework 2 weeks ago. I sent you all out on a mission to go and leave me some feedback, either via on Twitter, at Homebase Podcasts, or directly on the blog, meganpoteet.wordpress.com, or to go straight to iTunes or your Stitcher or wherever you're listening from, and leave me a review. And I'm so disappointed. We got no feedback at all in 2 weeks, which I totally acknowledge that we're still very new, but this is how we're going to get the podcast out there to more people and more mommies, is from you guys leaving me feedbacks and reviews, because that's going to increase our ratings and get us out there. So please, please, please get online and give us some feedback. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know what I can do better. I would really, really appreciate that. So, again, we are on Twitter at Homebase Podcast, and then also on the blog. And go on iTunes and subscribe. So, I'm supposed to be bringing you this week, I told you all, since I was seeing my mother, that I was going to record a episode with her, and we were going to talk about labor and delivery. But like I said, my son's sleeping was all over the place, so a couple times we sat down to record it, and he would wake up. And so I would go and rock him, get him back to sleep, and then we would sit down, we'd try to record it again, and he'd wake up. So needless to say, we did not get to it. It just kind of got to where we really wanted to visit, and we ran out of time, and so unfortunately, you will not have my mother on here talking about it with me. You guys just have to endure just me again. But it'll be great. So, and you know, I think it's for the best. My poor mom, bless her heart, I think she was a little nervous anyhow. She's not quite as crazy as I am, and doesn't enjoy hearing the sound of her own voice as much as I do. But anyways, so labor and delivery. It's by far just the absolute best day of your life is the day that your baby comes into the world. And even though it's awful and painful and long and tiresome, you're going to be hard pressed to find a mom that can't look back on that day and get a little teary eyed. And even if you have like a really traumatic pregnancy, like, please come to peace with it and realize that your delivery was the delivery you were meant to have. Actually, there's this other podcast I listened to, and they had on a guest one week, and she was a doula, and she was talking about how the labor you have is the labor that you're meant to have, and how it's this really spiritual journey, and I just thought that was so cool, because for starters, I think I talked on the first episode, I talked about how in my pregnancy, I really wanted to experience everything. And, you know, even if it was cliche, I just kind of wanted to experience it, because you never know if you're going to have another baby. You know, it's not a guarantee. You just don't know. And so I had a plan for labor of how I wanted things to go. But I kind of was like, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to embrace it. And I think it's so funny because when I was listening to this podcast and I heard the doula say that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true, because I wanted things to go so simple and so easy. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I kind of want to experience everything. And that's definitely the labor I got, was everything. Outside of a C-section, everything happened that could possibly happen. And so I think that's really cool. And I do think it's really true that you're going to get the labor you're meant to have, the journey you're supposed to go on. And even though it is typically 1 to 2 days long, your labor and delivery, it is a journey. And it's a journey you're never going to forget. It's permanently embedded into your soul. So how did my labor start? Well, I was 39 weeks pregnant, and my weeks started and ended on Wednesdays, and it was a Wednesday, my beginning of my 39th week, and I went to the doctor for my checkup, and she didn't even say anything to me. She's just kind of down there, and I'm like, ooh, that's kind of painful. And she's like, oh yeah, I just stripped your membranes. I'm like, oh, okay. For those of you that don't know what stripping your membranes are, it's like the little, basically they just stick their finger on up there and they run their finger on the outside of the amniotic sac to kind of loosen it away from the walls of your uterus. So kind of helps get things going, needless to say. So she did this, kind of didn't give me any warning. So she did that. And me and my husband had taken the labor and delivery class through the hospital, the 5-week class. And so we were very much aware of what stripping your membranes were and that it was a way to induce labor. And so, like I said, she didn't say anything to me. She just did this. And I was like, oh, okay. And so she's like, well, maybe we'll see you later tonight. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. And so I left the hospital and called my husband. I'm like, yeah, she just stripped my membranes. And he's like, what does that mean? I'm like, it means we could go into labor like anytime. So we didn't even go 40 weeks. We went 39 weeks. And so that was on Wednesday. And so nothing happened the rest of Wednesday. Thursday morning, I lost my mucus plug, which is just as disgusting as it sounds. a lot of people have asked me, they're like, how do you know? And if you are a first time mom, it is one of those questions. You're like, how do you know what is the mucus plug? You'll know. That's all I'm going to say, because this is a podcast and some dads may be listening and they don't want to go into nitty gritty detail. You'll know. Let's just leave it at that. You will know. So that happened Thursday morning. And so that was kind of like, I'm like, okay, things are progressing. At this point, though, I was just having Braxton Hicks contractions, nothing nothing substantial and nothing that even fazed me in the least. So Thursday night, though, we're like, let's go out to dinner. Let's go have a fun dinner. So our idea of a fun dinner is going to Moe's Southwest Grill, which is basically like a Qdoba or a Chipotle, if you guys don't have Moe's. So Mexican food. And so I decided I was going to have one of their, it's called a stack. It's a lot like the, I can't remember what they're called at Taco Bell either, where it's like a soft shell, a crunchy shell, a soft shell, a crunchy shell, and you've got like the toppings in between. And yeah, I had mine. It was like chicken and cheese and beans, and I had them put on a ton of sriracha. I was like, we're going to make it spicy, and I'm going to get this kid out. So that was what I ate Thursday night. Thursday night, technically Friday morning, midnight, 12 a.m., my water broke. Oh my goodness. And I think it's so funny because all through our labor and delivery class, they talk about the water breaking and they're like, it's just a trickle. It's just going to seem like you just peed a little in your pants. But it'll kind of be continuous because as the baby moves around, a little bit more will trickle out. Yeah, no. No. I was laying in bed and I literally just started falling asleep because when you're 9 months pregnant, you never sleep. And so it was literally right around midnight when I was starting to fall asleep. And it's like I had a champagne bottle between my legs and somebody just popped the cork. You literally heard this loud pop sound and then just gush everywhere. Everywhere, water everywhere. it was rather hilarious, honestly. But it was just crazy, crazy. So please know that it does not have to be a trickle. It can be a gush, and I will forever remember the noise of just this loud pop, and I literally felt my baby just go whoosh downwards, and it was just the most bizarre feeling ever. But the best part ever, I think, is I, like, swung my arm over and hit my husband. I'm like, oh my gosh, my water just broke. And he's like, you know, because we were so excited when she stripped my membranes and we're like, oh, we're going to have the baby soon. And so now almost 2 days have gone by and nothing has happened. So we were kind of starting to think, it's not going to happen. And he looks at me and he's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, really looking at me like I'm really skeptic of I'm telling the truth or not, but I'm like, look at the bed, it's soaked. And so at that point he gets up and starts getting all the bags, and I keep trying to put on dry clothes, but every time I stand up or slightly move, more gushing comes out. I can't remember how many pairs of pants I went through trying to just get out of the house. My poor husband's like, we have to go. And I'm like, I don't want to get the car all wet. I was so like, we just bought this new car for the baby, you know, the nice family safe car. It's a Honda CRV. But we just got this new car and I was like so worried about getting the car all wet. So we did grab a towel on our way out the door. Oh my goodness. But so that was a lot of fun, and it was kind of funny and comical. But so then we went to the hospital and we got there, and I think we got like checked in and in our room by like 1 o'clock in the morning. And at that point I was having contractions, but they were still at that like Braxton Hicks kind of contraction where your stomach just really gets tight. It's not really painful. It's just really tight. And then I don't really remember what times. I can't give you guys like exact times, but I mean, a couple hours went by and things started to speed up, and we did a lot of walking around the hospital, and my parents showed up. My mom was such a trooper. Throughout my whole labor, I had like my mom and my husband, they were right there the whole way. My mom fed me ice chips and water through a straw while my husband like held me and rocked me, and they were awesome. But so things progressed, and you know, you go and get your awesome IV and they pump you full of fluids, especially if you have the, I can't remember what it is, the bladder infection or something. So then you have to get all your IV fluids. And so I had to be hooked up for a while, which is kind of obnoxious. But But yeah, so things progress, and I remember, I was sitting on one of those exercise balls, and it was getting intense at that point. And I just looked at my mom, and my husband was trying to get a nap in because, I mean, he had just fallen asleep when my water broke. I hadn't slept. So I had been up since 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. Now we're at like 4 or 5 a.m. on Friday, and I haven't had any sleep. But he's trying to get in a nap. And I looked at my mom. I'm like, I need my husband. I need my husband. Just get him, get him. And bless his heart, it was just, you reach that point where you're like, I need someone. I don't think I've ever. I'm pretty self-sufficient person. I don't think I've ever been like, I need someone. I needed him, and so he woke up, and I think my labor went 21 hours, and I think pretty much the whole 21 hours almost, we sat on the edge of the bed. My husband stood, and I would sit on the very, very edge of the hospital bed so that I was almost about to fall off, but my feet were standing on top of his feet, and we just rocked, like, back and forth and front to back. And I had really bad, like, contractions in my lower back. They were awful. And so we rocked back and forth. That's what, like, helped me really stay focused and get through it. So, but I mean, that's pretty much my husband came and we started really getting into it and we labored. And this is probably the only choice that I kind of regret. It's like a double-edged sword. So, my plan going into the labor is I wanted to do it without any medication. I wanted to do it naturally, and I absolutely, absolutely did not want a C-section if I could help it. Obviously, if the child is in trouble, then you have to do what you have to do. But I just didn't want any medication. I wanted to do it naturally, and I didn't want an episiotomy, and I was really terrified of like getting a catheter. I am like seriously terrified of anything that has to do with needles or medical stuff, okay? I have a tattoo, so I'm not too afraid of needles, but I just really freak out at medical things. I get really high anxiety over it. So that was my plan going into it. And so a few hours into it, my contractions were so intense. And what was awful is through my whole 21 hours of labor, they were never consistent. Like I would have some back to back, and then I would have like a 3 minute break between some. Some of them I'd only have 30 seconds. I mean, it was just all over the place. It was so terrible. And I was so tired. So I asked them, I'm like, what are my choices? What could I do besides an epidural? And they're like, well, we can give you something to just kind of help get the edge off of the pain. They're like, you're still gonna feel it. It's gonna be there. They're like, but it'll take the edge off. They're like, it's gonna make you loopy though, but it might actually help you get a little sleep. But the thing is, with this medication, it was codeine is what I ended up taking. And like the first time you take it, it really hits you, and then like the next dose you get, it doesn't hit you as much. Like your body starts building this tolerance to it. So you can only really take it so many times, and it only works for like an hour or so. So I did do the codeine, and but it really hit me so hard that literally I was falling asleep between contractions. I was sitting there, edge of the bed, my husband's holding me, and I would make it through a contraction, and then I would just pass out, and then I would wake up when the contraction hit again. So for me, the one thing I really kind of disliked about my labor is there was no like downtime. all I remember for like long periods of time is just pain because I was getting no I was getting no break, Like I wasn't getting any breaks between the contractions because I was sleeping, which obviously you don't remember that part. So really the only part I remember for the majority of it is just pain, nonstop pain. And so that's kind of hard, and you're so loopy. I really didn't feel like I got to take in, being there in the moment. And so I feel like I would love to change that aspect. And if we have another one, I really want to just say, you know, nope, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to take the codeine. I'm going to do it. So we did that a couple times, and it just took the edge off. But like I said, eventually it wears down, and it just gets to where it doesn't do anything. So we labored until 2 in the afternoon. So got there about 1 o'clock in the morning. So 13 hours later, 2 in the afternoon. For the most part, I've been doing this without drugs, except for the little bit of codeine. And they're like, okay, you're 10 centimeters when you start pushing. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. So we start, my mother goes out of the room, just me and my husband. We start pushing, and we're pushing and pushing. We push for an hour, and they're like, oh, bless your heart. They're like, you're swelling. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And they're like, well, your opening has swollen, so now you're still a 10, but because you're swollen, it's actually only an 8, and he's not going to come out. And I'm like, okay, what do we need to do? And they're like, all right, well, we need to, we got to give you some Pitocin. And that was like the trigger word. I knew what Pitocin was. I knew it was going to make my contractions stronger. It was going to make them more frequent. And I already was in so much pain. I was 13 hours into this, 14 actually, and I was so tired. And I was like, I looked at my husband, and I'm just like on the verge of crying. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. And the nurses are like, what do you want to do? What do you want? And I was like, okay. I'm terrified of getting an epidural. The entire concept of an epidural just absolutely scares me to death. I was like, but go get the anesthesiologist and just have him come talk to me. Have him tell me how this works. So they got the guy. Brad was his name. Brad was amazing. And he came up and he's like, look, he's like, you know, this is the procedure. This is how it's going to go. He's like, you give me 5 minutes. He's like, I can get it in there. And he's like, and you're not going to, he's like, the pain's going to stop. He's like, 5 minutes. And at that point, I'm like, I'm 14, 15 hours into this, I'm like, no pain sounds terrific at this point. And I'm so tired. And they're like, all right. They're like, I'm like, okay, let's do this. Let's do the epidural. So, really the epidural's not bad. Getting it, they do like a little tiny prick to kind of numb the area. And then they do the big prick to place the epidural in your back. Really, the hard part is during the big prick, you cannot move. You have to be completely still because, I mean, they're messing with your spine. You know, they could paralyze you essentially. So he's like, you know, you have to be still. And I'm like, I know I'm going to get a contraction. I just know it. He's going to prick me and I'm going to get a contraction and I'm going to have to be perfectly still. I knew it was going to happen. And of course, as soon as he like goes to stick it in there, I start getting a contraction, and it's just everything in your entire being trying to be still and not move, but you just want to cry out in pain. It was awful. Oh, but Brad persevered and he got the epidural in there, and then my legs and everything went gloriously numb and I couldn't feel anything, and it was wonderful. Oh, and thankfully they gave me the Pitocin, but I couldn't really feel much of it, and so I was able to get like an hour nap in there, and then so got a little nap, and then we kept laboring with the Pitocin and stuff, and I ended up having to get a catheter, which I was really terrified of. I actually got 2 catheters. They did one before I pushed the first time. And then they did another one before we pushed the second time. So now we're up to like 3 or 4 things that I really did not want to happen. But really, the catheter is not that bad. So if there's anybody out there listening, the catheter, it really just feels like a little tiny pinch. Unless you have an epidural, then you don't feel a thing. but it's really not that bad. And it's just more awkward than anything else. But so then they came in and they're like, okay, I think we're ready to push again. And this was at 8 o'clock at night. So Yeah. From 2 to 8, we had to labor all the way again, another 6 hours. And so they came in, did my catheter, and at that point, my lovely, lovely doctor, it was her shift during the day, but her shift had ended and she had gone home, but she came back specifically to deliver my baby, so that was so, so sweet of her. She was awesome. But so they came back and we started pushing, and this is where I just, hats off to my husband. He was amazing, absolutely amazing. This is where I'm like, people, if you haven't had any kids, go to the labor and delivery classes through your hospital, because I feel like it just really prepares you. Because he was awesome. He had like one hand on my head, one hand under my leg, and was literally helping me fold my body together to push. And I had a nurse on the other side doing the exact same thing. I've just never been so surrounded by people that have just loved me so much and wanted to help. But so we start pushing and they're like, you know, he's not coming out. He's not coming out. Okay, we need to do the vacuum. So they get the little vacuum out and suction cup his head. He's not coming out. He's not coming out. This big old head, he was sunny side up. So they're supposed to come out face down. No, my son's trying to come out face up. And his enormous noggin is stuck. So, without saying a word, I hear this snip, snip. And I'm like, look at my husband. He's like, yeah, she just cut you. I'm like, oh, no. I did not want an episiotomy. You've got to be kidding me. And so then he finally comes out after that point, after the doctor snipped me, and then also I went to push and a nurse like climbed up onto a stool and like put her hands on my stomach and pushed so hard. So you have me pushing, my husband holding me together, a nurse pushing on my stomach, the doctor's down there, has already cut me open, is ready to play catch. It was very, very intense. But 21 hours later, or total, I should say, 21 hours, at 8:54, my beautiful little boy came into the world. And that's so exciting, but it's also scary because he came out and wasn't breathing. And the doctor's so calm about it because, you know, first he got, like, stuck coming out, too, okay? So we finally got his head out, and then his, like, shoulder got stuck, and so then that took a second. But so then he comes out and the doctor's like, oh, he's not breathing. And you know, me and my husband are like, oh my God, what do we do? Oh my God. And she's just like down there tying his umbilical cord. And she's like, all right, Dad, are you cutting the cord? I'm like, oh my gosh, he's not breathing. She's like, it's fine. It's going to be okay. And my precious husband got to cut the cord, which was really great. And so then they whisked him over to the little heated section, and they sucked all sorts of stuff out of his throat, and then he started breathing, but my husband said it was literally only like a couple seconds. To me, it felt like 10 minutes went by before I heard my baby cry, and that was just the best sound in the whole world, was hearing his little cry. But that was our very long journey, and I told it very, very quickly. It was so long, though. But I cannot tell you guys enough how absolutely special that day is, and if at all you can try to be mentally present and just take everything in. And then once you come home, and you bring your baby home, let like a couple days go by, and then sit down and write down your story. And include in every silly little detail. So I came home and wrote down my story, and it was just, I've read it a couple times since then, just to help me remember, and it's really special. However, the excitement did not end there for me. So they cleaned up my son, and then we got to do some skin-to-skin time, which is so sweet and precious, and I just absolutely love that time when you get to just sit there and stare at this little beautiful thing that you just brought into the world. Ugh, so wonderful. But so then all of our family who has been there for literally almost an entire day are like chomping at the bit to get in the room to see him. And so the nurses are like, they really want to come in. Can we let them in? I'm like, okay. I'm so tired at this point. I'm ready to just like, I just want to sleep. I haven't slept in 2 days. I'm exhausted. I just want to sleep. So everybody comes in. They get to see him. Pictures are taken. And I'm just like, you know, everybody takes pictures with the baby, and I'm just, like, sitting there in the bed, just kind of, like, watching it all unroll in front of me like it's a movie or something. I don't know. I was so phased out. Oh, but so then everybody left, and they started giving my son his first bath, and my husband went to help the nurse with that. And our other nurse was like, okay, we're going to get you, and we're going to take you to the bathroom and help get you cleaned up. And so I stand up, and she wheels me in there, and then they help you from the wheelchair onto the toilet. And so I'm sitting there, and I gotta tell you guys, I don't do good with medical stuff, and I made it through, and I'm so proud of myself for making it through, because that is a huge, huge triumph for me. But I don't remember a thing. My husband said that the nurse pulled the emergency little ripcord because apparently I had fainted, and my husband just happened to be walking by, and he said, you were just sitting there, and then all of a sudden you just slumped over, and he said, I came rushing in, and the nurse is trying to talk to you. She starts wetting a rag. My husband said he's, you know, slapping my face, trying to get me to wake up, and I'm out. I don't know how long I was out, a minute or so. And so all I remember is, like, when I came to, I just remember the nurse being like, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And I'm like, yes. Like, I had so much attitude. I was like, yes. Like, I was so annoyed. And I didn't understand why she's looking at me all, like, crazy. Her eyes are all, like, bugged out. And I'm like, what? And so then they, like, take me back to the bed, and she's like, you need fluids, you need fluids. So they hook me back up to the IV, and my husband's just looking at me, and he's just looking so worried. I'm like, what is wrong? And he's like, you fainted. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, I had no idea. So that was kind of fun. Never fainted before, but my poor husband, bless his heart, he had like the longest day ever, and here he's just had this beautiful little boy, and his wife is almost passing out on the floor. So then I fainted, and I had to get more fluids before they would let us go to our room that we were going to sleep in for the night. And so finally, like, man, at 1 o'clock in the morning, the nurse came in, and she's like, okay, here's all your paperwork. Let's talk about breastfeeding, because now you need to nurse him. And I'm just, like, looking at her like, are you kidding me? I've been awake for 48 hours. I am exhausted. I'm like, of course I want to breastfeed my baby, but I'm like, falling asleep. I literally was, like, sitting there nodding off while she's, like, talking to me about how often I need to nurse him and blah, 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 blah. Oh, so then they wheel us over to our room. My husband's passed out. They take us to our room. He, like, lays down on the couch, and he's out. And I'm sitting there, and they're telling me and helping me get my son latched on. And I'm just like, I remember looking over at my husband being like, seriously? This isn't fair. I'm the one that just brought this child into the world, and through my blood, sweat, and tears, I'm like, and you get to sleep. So not fair. Oh my goodness. And then, of course, like, so I'm nursing him, and then I have nurses that are, like, nagging me. They're like, you need to eat, you need to eat. And let me tell you, after, I don't know, all these moms that say, like, right after they deliver kids, they want these big meals. Like, and I think maybe it's just because my labor was so long, but, you know, 24 hours without food, you don't want to go just dive into a big sandwich or something, you know? Like, the last thing I wanted was, like, a big burger. That just sounded disgusting, because I was like, man, if I eat something like that, I'm just going to throw it right back up. I mean, nobody goes 24 hours without food and then just eats something like that. So I managed to get down like some saltine crackers or something because the nurses kept saying, they're like, you have to eat, you have to eat. And I'm like, I want to sleep. I don't want to eat. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sleep. Leave me alone. Oh. But then after that, everything was so wonderful. We had like the greatest nurses ever. They were amazing. And everybody's so sweet and supportive. And it was just really great. But, you know, outside of, like, not being able to be very coherent for the early parts of the labor, I wouldn't change a thing. It was amazing. I got to experience everything. I got to accomplish and conquer so many fears that I had. I mean, I had an epidural. I had a catheter. Had an episiotomy. I fainted. You know, so many things happened that I didn't want to happen, and it was just absolutely amazing. So, I highly, highly recommend, absolutely take a labor and delivery class. Get to know what all these terms are. That way, when someone comes to you and says you can take codeine, you know what that is. Someone says we have to put you on Pitocin, you know what that is. You know what an episiotomy is. You know what all your options are. I mean, when she came to me and said, you know, his head's stuck, we need to use the vacuum, I knew exactly what that meant. I knew exactly what the repercussions of that could be, what the pros and cons were, the risks, the benefits, and I was able to make our decision right then and there. You know, you weren't having to sit and have them explain it to you on the spot, because that's a stressful situation. You don't want that. So I highly recommend the class, because I felt like we were so prepared. And secondly, I just think it is absolutely great. Make a plan for your goals of how you want it to go. You know, my goal was to have no medication and to do it naturally. And for the most part, I did do that. Now, he didn't come out the first time we pushed, so then we had to go to plan B, which involved an epidural. But, you know, I think that's where you have to say there's a bigger picture here, and just getting a happy, healthy baby is the most important thing. And you really just, I think, need to sit back and realize, I'm going to have the labor and the experience I'm supposed to have. And this is all part of the wonderful journey. So really embrace it and just soak it all in, because as absolutely awful and painful as it is, it really truly is the absolutely best day of your life. I've told my husband before, I'm like, okay, our wedding was amazing and I love you so much. I'm like, but this was just, I would do this day. I said like the whole first couple months of my son's life, and I will continue to say it, I would take his first week of life, including the labor, and I would just do it on replay over and over and over. If I could live 1 week over and over, it would be that week. Because even though the labor stunk, it's just the greatest feeling when you get to hold them for the first time, and they're so cute and tiny and wonderful that whole first week when you bring them home. They just sleep and you get to cuddle them. Ugh, it's the best. It's the absolute best. Let's take a break. So let's talk about my hospital bag, because I know those of you out there that are pregnant and you're wondering what to take to the hospital, you've probably seen millions of pins on Pinterest about take this, and, you know, detailed stuff. I am one of those super over-the-top OCD people. I looked at all of these pins and I had this huge long list. I had an enormous bag for myself. I had the baby bag, and then my husband had a bag. We had so much stuff at that hospital, and I want to tell you, this is my absolute must-haves for your hospital bag list, because your hospital has so much stuff, and you are so not going to feel like dealing with it. And so here's my list, okay? Number one, bring clothes for your baby. The stuff the hospital puts them in is absolutely not cute. Ours, like, they brought him, and he was swaddled in a blanket, but underneath that, he just had on a diaper, and he had this little tiny short sleeve shirt, and the shirt even had a hole in it. So I'm pretty sure, like, if you don't take the clothes they give you home, I think they reuse them, which is fine, totally fine. I'm not, like, you know, anti-used clothes, but it's just, I was, like, so paranoid of him being warm, and it just wasn't cute. It wasn't anything cute at all. So bring clothes for the baby because, yeah, you're going to want to put them in something adorable. Chapstick. You are insanely, for the amount of fluid they pump into you, it makes no sense that you are so dehydrated afterwards. But you are so dehydrated afterwards. My lips were ridiculous. They were like flaking off, and I cannot tell you how much fluid they pumped into me through my IV. I was swollen for like a month afterwards, and it was crazy. Like, I look back at pictures that night, and I don't even recognize myself. I look like I am like 80 pounds heavier than I was, and it was just because I was so swollen from fluid. So I'm not sure how it happens that you get so dehydrated when you have so much fluid, but definitely take Chapstick because you are going to want it. You absolutely are going to want to take a shower there, so bring all your stuff to shower, whatever that entails. Obviously, bring clothes to wear home, not whatever you came in, because pretty sure whatever you came in is probably going to be all wet, at least my clothes were. So bring clothes to wear home, and I know, like, a lot of these articles and pins and stuff you'll look at, they all say it, but I'm just going to reiterate it. The clothes you wear home are not going to be the clothes you fit into before you were pregnant, okay? You are still going to have a very big pooch, and you're going to be puffy, so just bring the maternity jeans, the sweatpants, whatever. Don't worry about wearing anything cutesy home. Just bring that good old stuff you've been wearing for the past 9 months. Bring a boppy. I was so glad we brought a boppy with us, or if you have, yours isn't called a boppy, just the little nursing pillow, okay? The C-shaped nursing pillow. It makes feeding them so much easier because then you don't have to take all the pillows on the hospital bed and prop it up under your arm. And even more important than that, lots of people that come visit you, like, this was my husband's family's first grandchild, and so a lot of them haven't held teeny tiny newborns in a long time. And so it's just kind of nice to say, okay, here's the boppy, and now here's the baby. Because if you're not used to holding a child, your arm gets kind of tired. So, and it's really nice, like, if you have little kids come, little nieces or nephews or cousins or whatever that want to hold the baby, you can have the boppy, and it's like a little safety net. It just kind of makes it a little bit more comfortable. So I really recommend bringing the boppy with you. Obviously, you're going to want cameras and your cell phones and chargers so your cell phones don't die, so you can take tons of pictures, tons and tons of pictures. And, you know, I totally and completely wanted my husband to take pictures, like, as soon as my son came out. But we were so, the day was so long, and it just, we completely forgot. They were over there, like, cleaning my son up, and one of the nurses is like, told my husband, they're like, you can take pictures. And he's like, oh yeah. Like, we were so tired. It was such a long day. Like, we just completely spaced it. So definitely have your cell phones with you, because that was all our very, very first pictures were on our cell phones, which, thank you, Apple, for making really good camera phones. So, and do not forget, if you wear glasses or contacts, to bring your glasses and contacts. That way, if you have a long labor and you're sick of your contacts and you want to take them out, you have another option, and vice versa. So, as you can tell, that is a very short list, but those are my hospital bag must-haves. Really, your hospital provides you everything, And I just kind of laugh. There's people that are like all about bringing jammies and cute clothes to wear while they're at the hospital. You're going to be swollen. You're going to be puffy. You're not going to look like yourself, you know, and people don't expect you to look amazing. You just had a baby. So wear that hospital gown and rock it. It's totally fine. And trust me, that's going to be the most comfortable thing, because the amount of padding / diapering that you have to wear postpartum is just crazy. So you're not going to want to try and be squeezing that into your skinny jeans or whatever that you're wanting to wear. So seriously, just wear the hospital gown. It's totally fine. So, and like, I know our hospital had all sorts of snacks. I mean, anything I possibly wanted, you know, was there for us to order or eat. And so really, like, the bringing the snacks and the candy bars and stuff is so not worth it. And I think they told us to bring our own pillow to the hospital, and we didn't even end up using it. So I really don't feel that it's necessary to bring the pillow either. I'm so like, and I can't tell you how much stuff I had packed, guys. I had so much stuff packed to bring, and you really don't need it. Just bring the bare minimum, but definitely, definitely bring clothes for baby, because you're going to take tons of pictures, and you're not going to want them in that boring, plain, white onesie they put them in. So definitely bring clothes. So I want to talk real quickly before we wrap things up. I wanted to talk about something I'm super, super obsessed with. And not really, I shouldn't say obsessed, just it has been a lifesaver. Let's put it this way. So my son is 6 months old, almost 7 months, which is crazy. A couple more weeks. And that's so depressing, because now he's like on the other side of the bell curve, getting closer to 1 year old. Ugh, so sad. But this thing has just saved our lives so many times. I don't know if you guys have heard of this book. It is called The Wonder Weeks. And I'm going to get pulled up here who writes that. But there is an app, okay? So you can get this app on your phone. Okay. I'm not even going to try to attempt the doctor's name. His name is Dr. Franz, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But Dr. Franz wrote the Wonder Weeks book. And there is an app you can download onto your smartphones, and I believe it was only $1.99, and it is the absolute greatest baby app purchase I have ever made. This thing's amazing. So basically what it is, okay, is your child goes through, you know how they go through growth spurts, all right? Well, Dr. Franz discovered years ago, this book is kind of old, that children go through leaps, is what he calls them. They're mental growth spurts where your brain is growing. And that causes all sorts of different side effects, fussiness and sleeping problems and all sorts of stuff. But anyways, you can figure out when they're coming. So what's really awesome about this app, it's called the Wonder Weeks. You enter in your baby's due date. So not the day they were born, their actual due date. And it will let you know when one of these leaps are going to happen. And so like my son, 6 months old, he just finished this leap and it was like 6 weeks long. But for 6 weeks, it says in there, it's like, this is what he's going to accomplish. These are some things he's learning to do. And like some of the stuff was like spatial awareness. So like one of the symptoms per se was going to be that he was probably going to cry when he saw us walk across the room, because he's learning spatial recognition and that we're getting farther from him. And, you know, so cool stuff like that. So it tells you like things that they're going to learn, and then like signs to look out for to know that they're in this leap. And this thing is amazing because it has been spot on. all of a sudden, my son will start having a crazy day, and I'm like, what is going on? And I'll like get this little notification in my app going, your child is entering a leap. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so then you can kind of see how long the leap is, and then you'll know, okay, he's having trouble sleeping. He's kind of extra fussy and clingy and crying because he's in this leap, and this leap is going to last for a week. And so you'll know. And so it really has made us kind of recognize, okay, we're not doing anything wrong per se. It's just we're in this difficult time. And it has been amazing. Plus, it's really cool because he outlines the things that they're learning, and you get to sit and watch it, and you're like, oh, he's supposed to be learning this week. Oh my gosh, look, he just did it. And it's just really cool to kind of bring your attention to what they should be learning. And it's really, really amazing. So I'm really obsessed with this app, the Wonder Weeks. Go look for it. It's so cool. But I do have to say, we got through this 6 week long leap, okay? And now his sleep schedule, before the leap, he was an angel. He slept like 11 hours at night. He would take his naps. He would put himself down for his nap. All I had to do was go put him in his crib, and he would fall asleep on his own, barely any crying. All of that is gone. It's so awful. Oh, he struggled so much through this leap, and now we're like having to rock him and like get him to go down for naps. Each nap he fights us now. At night he's only sleeping like 6 hours, and then he wakes up, and then he like wants to be up for a couple hours, and then he goes back down. And ugh, it's awful, and me and my husband are so tired and we just want things to get back to how they were. And we were so like jazzed when he was doing so well before this mental leap, because we're like, yes, we're gonna be one of those parents that doesn't have to do sleep training. We were so excited because I just do not want to let him just cry it out. Like, that just sounds so awful, and I've just not been looking forward to it. But I'm like, man, darn it, now we've gone through this and now we have sleep issues, and I'm so gonna have to start doing my research on that, guys, because I think we're gonna have to do it in the next month or so, because I can't live like this. I'm so tired all the time. I feel like the house is a mess. I get nothing done. So know that you're not alone. I'm struggling too. If you're out there struggling, give me a shout out on Twitter and we can struggle together. So I really hope some people out there are pregnant and listening to this episode, because I really hope my labor story was encouraging, that, you know, no matter how awful it is, you're going to get through it and it's going to be amazing. But just to kind of highlight all of that and bring everything to a wonderful close, I want to share with you guys a quote that I found, and I love it, and I've really been trying to focus on it the past couple weeks and just help keep myself in a positive outlook. You all are going to laugh, but this quote comes from Captain Jack Sparrow. I do think that he borrowed this quote from someone else, because when I looked it up, I saw it from him, but I also saw it from lots of other people. So don't think this was originally Captain Jack Sparrow, but I just kind of like that he did say it, because I'm a big Captain Jack fan myself. So here we are. This is the quote. The problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. So I think that's really cool, and I try to keep that in mind, because when I'm sitting there and my son is crying and I'm exhausted and I'm trying to rock him to sleep and he's screaming in my ear, I'm like, okay. Problem is not the problem. The problem is my attitude about the problem. I need to suck it up and I need to put on a loving heart and help him get through this. I heard someone say once, I can't remember where I heard it. It was probably on one of my podcasts I listened to. They said something once about children's cry means help me do it myself. So try to remember that when my son is crying, it's because he is asking me for help. And so I need to put on a loving heart and help him learn to go to sleep by himself. So the problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. Thank you, Captain Jack. Okay, everybody, I hope you all have a great week, and I promise you next week I will come to you and hopefully be way more alert and awake. I hope you all have a wonderful, happy 4th of July, and please be sure to hit me up on the blog, meganpoteet.wordpress.com, and look for me on Twitter at @homebasepodcast. And also go over to iTunes and subscribe, and leave me some feedback. I'm desperate. I want to hear your guys' feedback. I want to know how we're doing. And if you guys do have a topic you want me to touch on or do some research on, or any questions that I can answer, or maybe you don't have time to do the research, I'll do it for you. So hit me up with questions or topics, and I will get to it for you guys. So, everybody, take care. Have a great week.